Are you ready to experience the rich interconnection of spirituality, orientation, and identity? If so, plan to attend Liberating Your Divine Identity, a retreat at Unity Village during Pride Month, June 9th to the 12th. This soul-filled retreat is facilitated by LGBTQIA+ Unity Ministers, with workshops and ceremonies to cultivate a deeper awareness of our spiritual nature. Register at unityvillage.org/IAmDivine2022.
We're glad you found us. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions, with your host, Reverend Paul John Roach.
Hello and welcome to World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. I'm your host, Paul John Roach, coming to you from Fort Worth in Texas. And every so often we have on the show a Unity minister. And we've done a few segments of this over the last few years. And we invite them to talk about their life in Unity, how they found the Unity teachings, their other particular spiritual interests, and also their view on the Unity movement today and the nature of the world in general at this interesting time in our history. So today I have the pleasure to welcome Reverend Karen Bradley to the show. Now retired, Karen has served ministries at Unity of the Plaza in Kansas City and Palo Alto, California, and today she makes her home in Auburn, California, and that's where she's joining me from right now. So welcome, Karen. Glad you can be with us.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate being here.
So you grew up in San Antonio, Texas, so you are a Texan, right?
Yes, I am. But now I consider myself a Californian.
There we go. But there's always that little bit of Texas in you, right?
Yeah. My love of Tex-Mex food will always remain steady and strong.
There we go. So tell us about the religion of your childhood. You know, did you grow up with a religious background at all?
I did. I grew up Roman Catholic. And for quite some time, I was considering going into the convent, and I would spend summers at the Mother House in San Antonio, and I was really convinced that that was my calling. And then I got into my late teens, and I decided I didn't want to be Catholic. I didn't want to be a nun. I didn't like, you know, the treatment that I saw women having to endure, the nuns, and just didn't like it. So I left for quite some time and found Unity in 1984. That sounds so old. And went into a church, a Unity church. Someone had recommended that because I told him I was looking to heal my relationship with God. And so they said they go to Unity. And I said, well, what's that? And they said, well, go and find out. So I went, and the minister that was speaking that day was Robert Hudson, and his wife, Kim, was the platform assistant. When I walked in, she had this Nerf frog hat on, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this place is a little wacky. But I stayed, and I went in and went out over a while. You know, I didn't go and just, it didn't hit me like a bolt. So I started taking some classes, and as I took the classes, and I was studying with a study partner, and one day I just said, you know, I really think that I'm getting my true calling to go back to church in some regard. And it wasn't too long after that that a new minister came to Unity of San Antonio, Sunny Stone, and she saw in me something that I had not seen in myself. And she encouraged me, and she let me platform, and she let me teach classes. I served on the board. I did all of these things without knowing that those were going to be some of the requirements for ministerial school. And I joined in 87, and it saved my life. I mean, I wasn't, like, floundering financially or on drugs or anything like that, but I had no purpose, no passion, no I had no idea what I was wanting to do or being called to do, really. And finally it came, and I talked about it, and she said, I think you should apply for ministerial school. And I did, and I got in 93 and spent two of the most incredible years of my life with 40 of the most incredible people I had ever met. And I was ordained in 1995. And I'd do it all over again, you know? I mean, it was that life-changing for
yeah.
me. The unity.
Of course, times have changed, haven't they? Yeah. Times have changed since those great, huge classes. I remember my own class back in 86, 88 was, you know, 46 people, I think. And now it's done it slightly differently. And in fact, a lot of it's done, you know, electronically rather than being on site. So, you know, times have changed. But I too remember those. It was quite an intense experience, wasn't it? Because you got 40-some people all working together, and not just on the stuff you have to study, but also what we used to call the hidden agenda, you know, all the interactions that come with people when you're with people for 2 years and studying at that level. It causes you to really have some reactions, you know, but it's all good, actually, because it forces you to sort of look at some of the stuff that's lurking in your subconscious mind, right?
Exactly.
So it's which of course it helps you, equips you for ministry, because if you're not open to that, you're not going to do well in ministry, because ministry's a pressure cooker in a sense. So when I can understand you reacted against some of the more less noble things in the Catholic tradition. Let's put it like that. What was it about unity particularly that was the right thing for you? Was it its openness, its embrace? What about the principles? What was the essence of it that was so attractive over time?
Well, I think the thing that made it so attractive is that I was welcomed. And, that, as a matter of fact, one of my first jobs, or one of the first things I wanted to do, was to volunteer in the children's program, and because I was teaching at the time. And Albert Obilke was the minister at that time, and I went in to let him know that I was gay, and that I wanted to let him know that because I wanted to work with the children. And if he thought any of the parents or anybody would be upset, or, you know, tell me now, so that I don't, you know, walk into the room and I'm not welcomed. And he said, absolutely not. You're welcomed here. You're a loving member of this community, and we're here to support you. And he advised me to go home and tell my father I was gay. I hadn't done that yet, and I didn't do that for quite a while. But anyway, the acceptance, and that was like mind-boggling, because in my previous religious experience, I was condemned to hell. And I was a sinner, and all, you know, I mean, and you hear those things, and you begin to believe them about yourself. And so I think when I heard Unity's definition of sin was like the archery term, missing the mark. All you have to do, you miss the mark. Come back to the principles. Come back to what you know inside about Unity and the Unity teachings. Come back inside and know that you're perfect just the way you are. That was the hook, because I'd never been accepted so totally and so completely. And the same thing happened when I went to Unity School. I kind of hid that I was gay, and because I didn't know if it was really accepted. I thought I had just walked into one church and everybody else was still anti-gay or whatever. But anyway, again, doors wide open, only one classmate had a problem. But then she came around towards the end of the year. And it was just being accepted. And I know that probably doesn't sound like, well, okay, but it's huge for people that have not been accepted and judged.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And Unity has always been pretty LGBTQ friendly, I think. You know, there are exceptions like everywhere, I guess, because you've got a community of people with varying backgrounds. But in general, it's been an acceptance. And, and of course, that's part of why you're on the show. this Pride Month, right? And and so this is what this World Spirituality doing its bit for the LGBT community. And so I'm glad you brought that up, and you know, willing to talk about it, because you know it's so important that we don't feel peripheralized or rejected in some way. And it's not the overt thing. It's the implied attitude, right? You know, right. People may not be overtly anti-gay or whatever, but you sense something. You sense a withdrawal or whatever, you know, that there's the same openness. And that's a huge issue too, right? Because we can say, I think it's the same with minorities. You know, we talk a lot about diversity, right, and having diversity in the workplace, but it's also important to have inclusion, because you know you can have minorities, but are they being included into leadership positions? You know, are they stakeholders, or are they just there and sort of tolerated? And so it's inclusion, complete inclusion, is still a task, I think, isn't it, to make it a non-issue, if you like, so that it's just another human being with a particular, you know, whatever it might be, you know, frame of reference, orientation, you know, and not to make it a huge deal. So,
right. And my concern right now is go ahead.
No, please.
My concern right now for my LGBTQ brothers and sisters is the administration now that is in the White House has brought back some of the most heinous things to do to any of us. The hate now has risen. I mean, they're killing transgendered people. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. It feels like a huge step back. And I was, you know, talking, or it was on Facebook, and there was one minister that said something about, you know, being gay and or whatever. I can't remember. And I said something to him like, well, no, we really haven't come that far. And he said something about, well, I'm a unity minister, and my community loves gay people. And don't you remember Stonewall? So I thought, no, I'm not that old, but I do recall that. And implying that that one event broke open and everybody loved us then, and that's not the case. And we're right back to where that same energy was around Stonewall. The hate, the hate crimes, the not being included, not being held in the way that I would like for us to be held. Just let us be.
Well, unfortunately, it's, you know, it's across the board, isn't it? Because we're, you know, abortion rights are under threat.
I know.
You know, ecology, you know, the protections for the environment, you know, the difficulty for some people to get even to vote, you know.
Right.
All this has been rolled back, it seems. And when you lower the level of discourse, you know, and make it more vulgar, then it brings out the crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and we're seeing more and more behaviors that, you know, probably wouldn't have seen it a few years ago, because we're taking our lead
gives people permission to do this. I've been thinking that all my life, and now I've got the president thinks it's good, so I'm going to think it's, you know, the right thing to do, and it's just awful.
Right. And of course, as we always say on World Spirituality or Unity Online, we are not necessarily a political show.
Right.
So we don't want to get too involved in, you know, right and wrong and all that. You know, but we can't help notice some of the policies that we're putting out there. So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a progressive liberal type person, and Unity in general is a progressive movement, we don't want to see things turned back to, you know, old times when there were, you know, horrible things happening for people. And I think part of this popularist movement, and we see it in Europe as well, is doing that. It's a yeah. fear of the new world, of globalization and whatnot. And it's trying to go back to an old time where, you know, everything was beautiful with picket fences and everything, except it never was like that, you know. And it's an illusion, right? You can never go back to this illusory time. I'd like to go back to the consciousness of some of the folks that fought the Second World War. You know, recently it was D-Day, and you listen to the stories of people who are now in their 90s, you know, the survivors. And my goodness, the self-sacrifice of that generation is stupendous, because we literally wouldn't be here without their sacrifice, right. and all the work that they've done. So, you know, those qualities are what I want to lift up rather than anything else. Right. So we give thanks for those people. Absolutely. In your ministries, you were in the Plaza, which is a fairly large ministry, right? And you said that's one of the associates there. And then you were the senior minister at Palo Alto.
I was an associate for 2 years, and then Duke made me his co-minister for the last few years I was there.
So you were actually the co-minister, yeah. All right, that's good to know. And so how did you find those ministries?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know,
because the Plaza studies, and they have a wide variety of people.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I had gone and visited at the temple when I was in school, and so I knew about it, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed Duke. But I didn't know where I was going to be, if I was going to take a church, what was going to happen. So Jerry and I moved after school, came to Auburn, because she had been living here. We came back here, and for a year, I worked as a waitress at a restaurant called Wings, and the same exact Wings that we use in Unity.
Yeah,
that was really, yeah. It was an airport cafe. Anyway, I had noticed in one of the magazines that Pat Williamson was leaving. He was Duke's assistant, and he was leaving. So I just wrote Duke a letter saying I'd heard about Pat, and you know, I was interested in the job and whatever. Signed it, mailed it, and within 5 days, he called me. I wasn't there. I was working, and he talked to Jerry and said that, you know, he wanted to talk to me and to think about the job and all that sort of thing. So when I got home, I called him, and we talked for quite a while. And at the end of the conversation, he said, well, I want to offer you the job right now. And I said, well, I think it'd be a good idea if we just sat in the same room together for a while and, you know, got to know each other a little bit better. But sure enough, a year to the day that we moved back to Auburn, we were moving to Kansas City, and that's how I got started. That's how the job happened.
And you had a lot of happy years there, right?
10 there, 11 at Palo Alto. Oh, yeah, it was a wonderful, you know, he's so innovative, and it was just a wonderful experience all the way around. And but then, you know, it just the time came that it was time for me to leave, and I wanted to do church on my own, and so I turned in my resignation and started looking for another church. And Sky St. John had been trying out at Unity Palo Alto, and we were talking one day, and he said, well, I tried out, but, you know, that's really not my church. He said, I think you should try. You should apply. And so I did, and sure enough, boys, they put me through the rigmarole, I tell you. But, you know, after all that, they offered me the position, and 80% of the congregation was on board with it. I thought that was pretty
cool. Yeah, cool.
And, yeah. Yeah. And it's lovely living there. The weather is just fabulous.
And, of course, it's 5 times as expensive as anywhere else in America, probably.
Yeah.
At least Fort Worth, Texas. You know, we have a pretty cool market here in terms of the cheapness of housing and whatnot, and you go to the sort of San Francisco area, and it's a whole different ball game. But you also have that fantastic climate, and there's a lot of advantages, right, to living there. So
you're 45 minutes away from San Francisco. You've got all the museums, everything. It's everything, and it's not that way here, but we're getting used to it.
So if you could say and sum up in a few words what the essence of your message was in those communities? I mean, that's a big, I know that's a big thing to say because we cover a lot of ground in Unity, but what was the prevailing thing that came up for you over and over again that you felt was your passion to express?
Well, I really wanted to inspire people with Unity principles, and I wanted to be, I think this is Thomas Hoare's word, was a beneficial presence, to just be there and welcome each experience, whether it was wonderful or horrible, just welcome each experience and be a role model in how to work those things through. But, you know, most of it, I think the bottom line, to inspire people with the principles that I felt like changed my life for the good.
Right. And, you know, the principles that are so simple, aren't they? And yet so profound, right? We have these five Unity principles that we talk about, which you can talk about them simply in a few, you know, in a few words, but they're a lifelong experience, you know, of integrating them into your life. And I think that's the wonderful thing about Unity. You can sort of take it lightly if you want, if you're only at that level with it, and wake up to the idea that, you know, God is good and we have an essence of God within us. But then you can take that in a very deep way. You know, what does that mean exactly? And right. to embody the Christ and see the Christ in others. And, you know, it's very profound. One thing that I loved about Unity is, you know, the prayer, the way we pray. It's not beseeching a God out there, is it? It's aligning with our own inner wisdom and inner love and the universal generosity that's all around us. And that was huge for me, you know, because I never liked that idea of beseeching somebody. It didn't make sense anyway that somebody be up there listening to my prayers. But to align myself with the rightness of God, you know, with the goodness of God, seemed very, very sensible, actually. And a relief, you know, because it's like it takes a lot of a load off this old-timey religion where, you know, you're looking at something, a super God somewhere, and never really thought that made sense.
No, me either.
So you retired, and life after ministry has been great, has it?
Well, you know, it's been an adventure, because what I didn't realize is how entwined I was at being a minister, and that was kind of my persona, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left, you know, there weren't all these hugs on Sundays. There weren't people saying how they liked my, you know, all of that was gone.
Right.
We sold our home, bought a home up here, moved, left all of our good friends and almost family members behind us, and it took me a while to reconcile all that. I mean, I just felt kind of flat and didn't really know what to do about it. So, I, you know, that's when I took up some painting and took up some other classes, woodworking and different things like that, to just kind of get out and about. And, I mean, I look at it and I love retirement. I love that I don't have to get up early Sunday morning, or I don't have to write a talk every week, you know. But
yeah.
I don't know if people other than ministers and know that kind of pressure, honestly. You know, to have to, you give a talk, you sit down, and you've got another, 5 days to put another one together. And that was always on my mind, that talk. I don't know if that's what most ministers feel like, but I knew that that was the one day that I could capture enough people in one room and let them learn about Unity.
Right. And you want to make it meaningful, so you don't want to just dial it in, right? So you've got to be on your game.
Yeah.
And some people find that extremely difficult. You know, other people seem to thrive on that idea. Yeah.
I know it. I had always wished that I had felt that way, because I look back and I think, you know, it was really on my mind all the time.
Right.
And I know that there are people that they can sit down and pop out a talk in no time at all, and it's wonderful and funny, and I had to work at it.
So, you know, I'm recently retired myself, but, you know, I'm still on the World Headquarters board and still doing this radio show. So I think that eased my my landing into retirement a little bit, you know, rather than there's nothing. But having said that, it's lovely not to have the pressures you're talking about, you know, the idea of an organization that you have to foster and keep going, you know, because it's not just about the administration of it, it's the consciousness. You have to hold the consciousness, and I think people don't realize that that's a full-time job as well, right? It's your energy that you're contributing to the community that keeps it on track, if you like, and you know, that not having to do that is a wonderful blessing, because it's, you can be yourself, can't you? I feel pretty much unity, but there's some things that I you know, I'm me rather than unity, and now as being retired, I don't have to always, you know, toe the line, if you like, and put the unity teachings forward. You know, I can be involved with Buddhism or Hinduism a little more, you know, without it being a problem. So that, for me, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Well, we're at the halfway stage. I'm with Karen Bradley. She's retired Unity Minister. And in the second half, we're going to look at unity today and whether what kind of unity Karen envisages for the future. And then we'll look at some of the, we already talked about a little bit in terms of LGBT. We'll look at the nature of the world today and whether Karen's optimistic or not about it. She's a unity minister, so she better be, right? But not necessarily. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back after these messages from Unity. Join us then.
Experience the difference. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
When listeners like you contribute to Unity Online Radio, you're making a positive difference in your life and the lives of other spiritual seekers. Go to unityonlineradio.org and click on Donate to make a one-time donation. Or sign up for monthly contributions. Thank you for your support.
Here's a Unity Mindful Moment with Reverend Wendy Craig Purcell from Unity San Diego, discussing change and transition.
And as we begin to really identify the endings in our lives, to deal with them completely and wholly, to heal from them as we must, as we are willing to be in a time of not knowing, a time of uncertainty, but a time of trusting that there is a blueprint, there is a plan, there is a destiny. As we move successfully through these experiences, we will find that we are evolving and emerging into something new and different. And everyone and everything that has been happening in your life, both the things that are easy and good and pleasant, and those things that are challenging and painful and difficult, are drivers for your own evolution.
To find a Unity Church near you, visit unity.org.
Since 1924, Daily Word has offered inspiration and practical teachings through daily prayer messages to help people of all faiths live happy, healthy lives. The magazine includes 2 months of daily affirmations, messages, articles, and spiritual poetry to help you get inspired. Subscriptions are available for print editions in large type and Spanish, as well as the digital subscription package that includes the online magazine with audio, smartphone app, and daily email. Get your subscription today. Visit dailyword.com or unity.org.
If you've been on a spiritual path for a long time, what can you read that's new and exciting? Try Unity Magazine. It's designed for the seasoned spiritual student, with in-depth articles and interviews about spiritual practices and philosophies. Our columnists share their own faith journeys and cover healing, science, and psychology, with even a little scripture thrown in. You'll read some classic authors and some new ones. Get a free trial issue at unitymagazine.org.
More and more people are interested in a vegan lifestyle, and the numbers continue to grow. Join Victoria Moran every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central for Main Street Vegan and learn how to make the shift to help animals and the planet. Each week, Victoria shares recipes, health tips, and interviews with celebrity vegans, experts, and activists. Learn how to make a difference for animals and the planet at every meal. Right here on Unity Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Call now with your question or comment. 816-251-3555. That's 816-251-3555.
We now return to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach.
All right, welcome back to today's show. This is part of an occasional series where I talk with Unity ministers and we find out their backgrounds and interests and other things. And I have the delight to be with Karen Bradley, who served churches in Kansas City and California, now retired. And we've been talking about how she grew up in Catholicism and then found Unity and some of her experiences in those churches. And in the second half, we wanted to explore a little bit about Unity itself, where it's going right now, how encouraged or discouraged Karen feels about it. And also about the world, which is in an interesting place. Though I would say the world is always in an interesting place. And if we think there's a Shangri-La somewhere, we're probably living in a fool's paradise, because the world is perfect and imperfect all at the same time. But we can talk more about that. So thoughts about Unity. You know, some people call themselves Fillmoreans, right? Because Charles and Myrtle Fillmore were the founders of Unity, and they want to go back to those times to make Unity Fillmorean again, so to speak. So you, obviously we admire the Fillmores. They were wonderful. Oh, yeah. You know, they laid down a whole movement and were very eclectic themselves, took a lot of information from various traditions and created this whole thing we call Unity, and were able to gather 1,400 or so acres together at Unity Village to create this beautiful retreat place, really, for us today. And so many things are being renewed right now at Unity. I'm on the board, and so I get to see it closely. And the renewal is happening all around in both the ministries and on the campus, and wonderful things are happening. So it's exciting to see that renewal. But I personally don't want to go back to becoming a Fillmorean, because I think Fillmore, Charles and Myrtle would say, you know, life changes and things unfold, and what we thought then may not be, you know, the whole understanding today. We reserve the right to change our minds, as he said. What's your take on that, Karen?
Well, you know, I'm not a Fillmorean. I mean, the teachings of Unity are wonderful, and I think that because they expand your mind and they contract your mind all at the same time. You think, oh my God, God loves me. Oh my God. Oh no. Anyway, I think I've heard people say, well, if Charles and Myrtle didn't say it, then I'm not going to buy into this changing attitude with Unity. I, on the other hand, feel like we've always been in a flux. You know, they had theirs. We've all been in a flux in Unity, that we didn't like this happening or we don't like that happening. If Charles and Merle didn't say it, we're not going to do it. And all of that reminds me so much of that Roman Catholic ideology that it's this way or it's you're out. And I don't think unity's gone that far, but I do know that there are conversations that happen where, you know, unity ministers agree to disagree about unity. Was the oneness blessing that came through. And my only concern was that we in unity teach we have everything within us to live the life that we've been brought here to live. And it seemed like the oneness blessing was saying you have to be specifically taught by this person. I'm not sure what it was that everybody thought it was so great. It was just more like meditation, but they were conferring a blessing on you that someone had something that you didn't have and they were going to give it to you. And I didn't like that. That didn't sound like unity to me. But, you know, they had a oneness blessing at Unity Palo Alto. A woman would come in and do it and, you know, off they'd go. But I really think that the five principles in unity, you know, we're talking about things change, things are perfect and imperfect. Well, I feel like that about that they're perfect and they're imperfect because, like you said, Charles and Myrtle aren't here to say, oh, wait a minute, let's look at this again and see what we can do to make it more inclusive or more loving or more, give us more wisdom. I don't know. But I think that because unity and the principles and the teachings are what helped me, that's what I stuck to.
Right.
And I would preach. Yeah, I just stuck because I knew that stuff. I didn't know shamanism, or I didn't know Native American stuff. This is what changed my life, and this is what I felt my purpose was to bring to people what changed my life to see if it would help them. And I still feel that way, whether it's whether they change things at Unity for the better, for the worse. I think that, you know, we should be very, very grateful for the movement and what it has been able to do to shift the consciousness of the planet.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, the message of unity 40 years ago was a sort of a niche market, wasn't it? And
yes.
Now we see the teachings all over the place. You know, the Methodists are teaching unity principles. The Oprah is taking it on board. You know, it's now become currency, and even in the more non-traditional church, I mean, non-denominational churches, I'll watch them sometimes on TV, and I think, wow, that's metaphysics right there. You're teaching symbolic interpretation of the Bible, and so yeah, it seems to be out now. You know, which is wonderful. So that means we've done a good job in a sense. You know, that we brought that message to a larger amount of people. Yeah. You know, there's a phrase, isn't there, the old proverb, familiarity breeds contempt, you know, and we're always looking for new things, you know, the latest and greatest. And
right.
And I think oneness blessing, you know, is a bit like that. It's like, well, it sounds unity, oneness, etc. So let's see what it's about. You know, this might be fun. And we're going to lay hands on people and stuff, because it's basically a laying on of hands, the oneness blessing. And, you know, in India, that's been done by many different people over millennia. You know, they call it Shaktipat. But laying on of hands was done by Jesus. It was done by, you know, all kinds of traditions, right? So it's not as new as it seems, you know. But I agree with you. I think anything that tells me that I have to go to a specific place, you know, pay some money and receive initiation before I can really understand this, I think that's a little suspect, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, some people did it, they seem to get into it, but I don't know, you don't hear about it so much anymore. You know, the flavor is off it now, and I think there's been some things from the leaders of that organization that people are beginning to question their full integrity or whatnot. And it's the same with John of God. You know, a lot of people at Unity were going to John of God and in Brazil, and and then he was put in jail, you know, for molesting and abusing people and whatnot. And so, you know, that's his star has fallen, and so we got to be careful, you know, how I think unity people tend to be a little bit naive. You know, we're optimists, we're seeing the good in everything, and sometimes we need discernment, right? It's not things aren't always the way they seem, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, as my viewpoint also is, if it works for you, you know, try it, you know.
Right.
right? It's, we're not stopping people doing stuff. I mean, that's the
Absolutely
unity teaching.
Not.
Yeah. But use wise discernment, because there's a lot of stuff out there, and not all of it is legit, you know, I would say.
Right.
I've been around and about, you know, in world spirituality for many, many years, and I know there's some wonderful teachers out there, and they're usually pointing in the direction of oneness and, you know, the mystical. But there's others that sound like they are, but they're maybe not as aligned with truth. They have other reasons for putting their stuff forward. So, you know, you just have to be careful, and like we said, use discernment. So unity is progressive, isn't it? It's unfolding, right? We're never going to understand the whole of the nature of the universe. There has to be that sense of letting go. And I love that in unity, we say let go and let God. And it's become a cliche, but really what it means is let go of your presuppositions, right? You don't have the whole picture. None of us do.
Right. I think that's beautifully said, Paul.
Well, I was hoping you were going to say a few things about it, too.
You stunned me with that one, mister.
Okay. Well, you know.
I sat down on recorded, so I'll hear it again. And I'll be
there we go.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Yeah. But, you know, I'm optimistic about unity. I think it's, you know, sometimes we seem a little dysfunctional, but, you know, that's part of the whole nature of unity is it's hard to pin down. You know, we're all, it's like herding cats, you know, they say, you know, a unity church is a bit like that too. Because we're a bunch of individuals and each one has a slightly different view of things, right? But that's the nature of it. You know, it's supposed to be a little bit messy, right?
Well, I think so, yeah. Like you said, nothing is perfect, really. I mean, in the physical realm, everybody's got stuff coming up or going or, you know. So, I imagine that unity, you know, and you go to a convention and you get the real feel of, you know, what people are thinking and what they're working on and how they're being in the world. And, we're just, I think, a very incredible group of brave and courageous people that have a wonderful message to share, and we're doing it. And like you said, and now it's becoming like a household consciousness. You've got people on television preaching unity that aren't unity ministers, all of that. I think it's fabulous what we've done. And I know we'll continue to go forward because that's what we do.
Right.
You know, and let's see if I can remember this, the definition of hope, the words Charles Fillmore used. Oh, golly. I can't think of it right now, Paul. Sorry. Anyway, it might come to me.
That's okay.
The train has left the station.
that can happen. So do you still preach and occasionally you speak and whatnot?
I'm not doing any of that. I'm not doing weddings. I'm not speaking. I spoke once at Unity Palo Alto because John wanted me to come down and because he wanted to take a vacation. So I would do that for him. But no, I'm not really interested in doing any of that. I'm more about now looking at the more creative side of my life with the painting and volunteering. I'm volunteering with a group of elementary kids. It's a program to help kids learn sight words so that they can be better readers, you know. So I'm doing things like that, but I'm not doing anything really ministerial.
Right, yeah, and I think that's perfectly fine, you know, because it's like you did that contribution as that part of your life, and now you've moved on, you know, to contribute in another sense, right? And I think sometimes we want to hang on to it, you know, even though we've done that, you know, it's time to do something different. And you know, I was at Unity Fort Worth for 30 years, and
oh my gosh, you were
a long time. And, you know, for many years, I thought, well, I'll never leave, you know, I'll be there for eternity because, you know, I've been there so long, I can't leave. But, you know, in the last few years, and we'd had some terrible times, we'd had a split in the church and whatnot, and I soldiered on after the split for 7 years, but in those 7 years, it was like a blessing, you know, although the split was tough. It showed me that it wasn't my church, you know, that I was just a steward at that particular time, and it was okay whenever the time came for me to leave. And, right. You know, that was a great lesson for me personally, because you can't own a church, you know, it's your little baby, because I grew it from a tiny church to, you know, at one point it was a pretty big church, and you tend to take ownership then. But, you know, it's not what it's about, right? We're in a minister is a servant, you know, serving a church. And it felt great then to be able to let it go, because I felt like the burden of having to be, you know, the dad, you know, the father figure of the church, that was too much, you know. And I think that's true in our lives in general. You know, we could ask ourselves that, because we don't want to just leave it to talking about ministers. But in what way are we feeling, you know, in our family or in our workplace, that we're the savior? You know, we're the one that if it wasn't for us, everything would fall apart. Well, is that true? You know, ask yourself, is that true? Because, no. You know, maybe it would be more healthy if you were let go, you know. And we have a hard time doing that sometimes, of course, because we feel like without us, you know, it would not be what it is. But sometimes it can be better, you know, by letting go. And I know that's true in family dynamics too, when we feel like we have to be the one to hold it all together. Eventually it may damage us physically or emotionally, you know, because of that. We're holding so tight that it's not good for us. So in the last 10 minutes of the show, let's talk about the world. I know that you, you know, are slightly unhappy. Well, I should say slightly, maybe more than slightly, a little unhappy about, you know, some of the where we are culturally and politically right now, because it does seem to be, you know, looking back again rather than moving forward. And we got to be real about that. But, you know, what I've found in this whole experience is that it seems to have motivated a lot of people too, you know, that there's more activism, there's more willingness to put forward alternatives. It's galvanized, you know, people. They've come out on the street and they've created movements and whatnot, you know, in direct response to some of the things that are happening. So in that sense, I'm encouraged, you know, because they're not just staying silent anymore. There's that sense we got to do something.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the reality for me is I can't watch the news anymore. Only PBS. I'm getting ready. Because I want to stay informed, but I'm not able to just watch this stuff. And I have no outlet up here. It's a very conservative area. And as a matter of fact, the people that live across the street have a Confederate flag hanging in their garage. You know, it's that way here. Uh-huh. So I feel like I'm just beginning to wake up a little bit, and I'm looking at ways. There's different organizations now that I've found that I can join and that are like-minded, and, you know, do my part. I can't just sit here and complain and cry and wish things were different, because that's not going to help. I have to do the thing that they say in you. It's not enough to know these things. You have to practice what you do, you know.
Absolutely.
Practice these principles, even if you're not a minister, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful by all of the people coming together, and I'm disheartened by the hate and the anger that I see, and the way it's expressing in the world now. It's really difficult for me.
And we see it everywhere, it seems. You know, in Europe, of course, I grew up in Britain, and, you know, we see some of the same attitudes.
Same things.
Yeah. And, you know, this whole Brexit thing, you know, to me is craziness, you know, to leave the European community. And it seems to have been fostered by fear rather than anything else, you know. And that seems like not the best motivator. I think it's the same, you know, we fear the Mexicans or whatever. And yet, you know, for me, Mexico, without the Mexican involvement in our country, we would fall apart. I read an Anthony Bourdain essay on that just recently, and he was saying that the food industry is all run by Mexican people, you know, and they grow all our food and gather all our food and build all our houses. You know, it's just the whole infrastructure would fall apart. So, and you know, the Mexican people that I know who, you know, work around me are the hardest working people in the world. I've never seen anybody work as hard as them. So, you know, I have a different view of that culture, you know. And but most people love Mexicans. That's what Bourdain said in general. But then they still have this fear base around, oh, yeah, but we can't trust or whatever. And so it's a sort of a schizophrenia, isn't it, you know?
It's just crazy. I was raised in San Antonio, Texas, and the population there, the Mexican culture outweighed the Caucasian culture. And, but, you know, I would spend time in these people's homes, and the love of family and the respect that they would have for their mother and their father. And, I grew up in that community, and it was beautiful. The bright-colored houses, the hot Mexican, I don't get why just because you're Mexican or just because you're black or just because you're gay that you have to be hated.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense.
Seems to me, too, we hate in general, you know, but in particular, we can love, you know, it's easy to have a problem with somebody that you don't really have interaction with, but it's really hard to get very angry with somebody that's, preparing your food or mowing your lawn or whatever, you know, and so that's where the changes happen. I think we have to get back to, you know, how do we deal with each other on a day-to-day basis? Because I think very few people want to hurt people at that level. You know, they want to get along with people. And demagogues or demagoguery in general, you know, tends to be very, a broad brush, you know. It's not dealing with people. It's dealing with what the people represent, you know, and the fear that we have to what that representation means. And so I'm a big advocate of everybody, you know, getting to know somebody that's different from you and, you know, and connecting. Because once we do that, we can't hate anymore, you know. Easy to say, not so easy to do. Let's change subjects. If you had a favorite book, a spiritual book, what would it be? Or books?
Oh, golly.
Which one really, oh, man, that's an awesome book.
Well, of course, I love to Discover the Power Within. Mm. That's one of my
Eric Butterworth.
Yeah, well, I read that just as I was getting into Unity, and so it really helped pave the way.
Truly great book.
Yeah, I think that's my all-time favorite. And I like some of Ellen Davenport's writing, her book, that she put a little fresh flavor on the five principles. And Linda Martellowitzip, Divine Audacity, beautiful book, yeah. And anything Brené Brown writes, I like.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's a doll, yeah.
Well, there's
I just remembered the definition of hope, confident expectations of good in the future.
Ah, there we go.
And that's confident, what I have, Unity.
Confident expectations of good.
Yeah.
That's lovely. Because if we believe or know, actually, once you come to understand it, that the universe is totally giving, right? The generosity of the universe is a wonderful thing. The sun always comes up every day. The universe pours its good on everybody without exception. Once you understand that and then relax into it, then you have that confidence, don't you, that the good will flow no matter what the appearance. You know, I was thinking about D-Day and you know, 4,000 people were killed, I think, on the beach the first day. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, my God, that's a terrible massacre. But 151 or more thousand people, you know, made it through. And and we could say, well, oh, this is terrible that we lost so many. But the sheer effort, you know, those 4,000 sacrificed themselves so that the larger majority could get through and you know, win the war, basically. And so, you know, if you look at the larger picture, you know, you can have confidence in that, because if you focus on the slaughter and the drowning and all that went on that first day, you'd say, oh my goodness, this world is a terrible place. But and I'm not minimizing the deaths. Every death is horrific, but the amazing sacrifice that people were willing to make, because any of those 151,000 would have been willing to die, you know, for the cause. And you know, what a testimony to the dignity of human beings and the resilience. And so I'm encouraged by that kind of behavior. I think we're all you know, have the ability to rise to the occasion in that regard.
Yes. Well, let's see everybody rising to the occasion.
If you had an affirmation, you're a master of affirmation, you're a unity minister. If you had an affirmation to leave us with today, something to encourage us, or some word of encouragement. I think you've already put out that beautiful hope, the idea of the confidence, an expectation of confidence in the future. Maybe that's enough. Maybe I'm overdoing it. I'm asking you too much. But
no, I can tell you one of my favorites. I am in stride with the upward progressive movement of life, and the mark of success is upon me.
Oh, that's wonderful. Say it again.
I am in stride with the upward progressive movement of life, and the mark of success is upon me.
Wow.
When I say it, I know.
Yeah, it's awesome.
One.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So, folks, I hope you take that in and let that be a watchword for you this week. We're grateful for Karen to be with us. Let me tell you about next week's show, and then we'll say goodbye to Karen. Next week, I'm excited to welcome Jeff Cox to the show. He's a student of the seminal teacher Paul Brunton, and he's going to talk about Brunton's book, Instructions for Spiritual Living. One of the seminal teachers of the 20th century, Paul Brunton, and so that should be good. But I've enjoyed my conversation with Karen, you know, a wonderful, warm, centered person. Thank you for being on the show.
It was my delight, my pleasure, Paul. Thank you for having me.
And thanks for listening, guys. Glad you're listening to this show and others on this A Voice of an Awakening World Unity Online Radio. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Are you ready to experience the rich interconnection of spirituality, orientation, and identity? If so, plan to attend Liberating Your Divine Identity, a retreat at Unity Village during Pride Month, June 9th to the 12th. This soul-filled retreat is facilitated by LGBTQIA+ Unity Ministers, with workshops and ceremonies to cultivate a deeper awareness of our spiritual nature. Register at unityvillage.org/IAmDivine2022.